CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Bakhmut, an obscure village in eastern Ukraine. Until the conflict centers on Bakhmut for weeks and weeks and weeks, the Russians making claims, and now the Ukrainians making claims, fighting over what has been described as Verdun-like, that would be an exchange of artillery from distance to pound each other and to destroy large buildings, or Stalingrad-like, that would be ground units taking advantage of cellars, basements, revetments, and anything to make limited opportunities against each other. And now, for these last days, said to be where Ukraine is launching what appears to be an armor-supported offensive, regaining ground in Bakhmut. To help me understand why Bakhmut, why this stage, given all of the context of the air war, the missile war, the threats of nuclear war, I welcome Brad Bowman of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, who is part of the team that looks very carefully at the Center on Military and Political Power, at how the army of both sides is behaving in this hot war of the 21st century. Brad, a very good evening to you. Why Bakhmut? Has an answer emerged over these last months? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. You know, when one looks at Bakhmut, it's not the first place that you would select as a location or a city or a region of great grand strategic or strategic importance. And yet it has kind of become that. Its importance certainly in the beginning was more symbolic rather than strategic. But as both sides have decided to stand their ground and fight there, it's become a proxy for things that are much more important than the particular ground they're fighting over. You have the Russians and the Ukrainians who are losing some of their best remaining forces in this fight. And as many of your listeners will know, urban warfare can be absolutely brutal. And so we've really seen lines that are largely but not completely static, particularly in the city. But in the last few days around the edges, you've seen some Ukrainian gains. And so the big question here is, as we've talked about this big Ukrainian counteroffensive that everyone's been anticipating for quite some time now, is, you know, how does this relate and where does it happen? And my sense is, in reading into this, is that Russia really wants to reinforce its lines elsewhere, but because of Ukrainian pressure in Bakhmut, empowered by Western weapons, combined arms weapons, as you said, infantry, armored personnel carrier, tanks, it's been forced to devote more of its finite resources to the Bakhmut area and away from areas where we might most expect the counteroffensive to strike most.
So what we have here then is an opportunity for Ukraine to dictate the terms of a future battlefield by draining Russian resources. They are limiting the ability of Russia to anticipate if there is to be a counteroffensive. So let's go to that. Is there evidence of a counteroffensive in some fashion, a gathering of major forces or a hardening of intentions in one vector or another? Can you see anything on this map?
There are things that you can see. I don't see anything like what you're describing. And we have Zelensky explicitly saying, hey, you know, rather shrewdly and probably also accurately, hey, we need a bit more Western weapons before I want to do this. And they obviously want to keep the Russians guessing. We've seen Ukraine play this before where, you know, hey, look up here at Kherson. No, we're going to do it down here up there in Kharkiv. So obviously they're trying to hide their hand a little bit. But the good news story, well, there's kind of a mixed story here, right? Ukraine needs to get out of this battle, this attritional battle, because that's not good for Ukraine. Russia will win that in the long run. But if they can get Russia to continue to devote their finite resources in the Bakhmut area and lessen their investments elsewhere, then that will make the counteroffensive more successful. I have been worried about Ukraine's ability to take prepared Russian forces that are dug in. A lot of the early gains in the war were Ukrainians defeating Russian forces that were either themselves on the move or not dug in. The good news from around Bakhmut is we are seeing some early signs of Ukraine having success against forces, Russian forces that are dug in. If that's true, and I think it is, that's going to be very helpful in places around Kherson, where on the east side of the river, the Russians are absolutely dug in.
A week past, I saw a video of an armor unit moving through what looked like foliage, a hedgerow, and then fleeing Russians, five or six infantrymen running from what I presume to be the armor unit that we were seeing, but also drones chasing them. Yes. That did not look sophisticated, nor did it look particularly in any fashion like the Russians had prepared a defensive position. Is that what Bakhmut looks like? Not dug in with trenches, but just opportunity hiding behind this bush or this tree?
You know, it's a great question. I think one has to distinguish between the street-by-street, building-by-building fighting within Bakhmut proper and the fighting that we're seeing around the edges. And I think what you're describing, some of that footage I've seen as well, is the latter around kind of the edges of Bakhmut. For sure, you know, one mistake that I think I'm always cautioning myself not to make and that I think is important here is there, you know, and I was starting to do it a minute ago, is, you know, counting tanks, counting personnel, counting aircraft, counting missiles. And I just don't think we need to make sure that we don't make the mistake that many people made in the first months of this war and is undervaluing the importance of morale. You know, the Ukraine has a reason to fight. Russians aren't sure why they're fighting. We have the prisoner discussion we've all had. And so, you know, when in debt, yes, defenses have advantages. Defenses that are dug in have more advantage. But once you start to retreat, as you were describing, seeing that video, as one Ukrainian general recently said, it's very difficult to stop that retreat. So if you have demoralized Russian forces, you have this lack of unity of command between the Russian military and the Wagner group, that could be the formula for real Ukrainian success if the West gives them the weapons they need to finish the job. And there have been some news in the last few days that our European allies are stepping up more to the plate, at least in terms of their commitments, and hopefully the deliveries will come shortly thereafter. But that's easier said than done.
Three theory, Brad. You are a veteran. I just read history. History, however, is very clear. You reinforce success. Reinforce success. Bakhmut in that video looks like a success. Are they reinforcing to your measure?
You know, I can't tell for sure, but what's clear is that if you look at the Institute Study of Wars maps and other maps, that the Ukrainians are having some successes around the edges, and the Russians are diverting finite resources to try to stop those gains. If those Ukrainian advances continue along the edges, that could endanger the Russian forces in Bakhmut itself. And that plays right into this longstanding war of words and logistics that we've been seeing between Prigozhin of the Wagner group and the Russian military. And so this could be a formula for disaster for the Russians if we provide Ukraine the means they need to exploit these successes, as you're suggesting.
And that would be air additional armor. Is there one system that's not on the battlefield? We have a few seconds.
Yeah, no, tanks. Tanks, armor, infantry fighting vehicles, armored personnel carriers, reinforced by artillery that's already there. That's what I would want. They've already received some Western tanks. They need more.
Brad Bowman from the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.